Hello, everybody. Welcome to this conclusion of the raw material as I covered it in this series. This is one of the videos that I promised that I was going to do as a sort of lessons learned and reflections of what it has been for me these past 4.5 years almost that I began covering the material as a study, as a reflection of my own path, and as an interpretation for others who wanted to get into the material or had been going through the material. And that was my initial intention. So I guess first I want to talk about that initial intention and what has flourished over these 4.5 years. And it really just started with the idea that I could talk about this, and by no means that meant at that time or even now that I had a sort of superior knowledge or something to teach about this material itself, but rather that I felt this desire to want to share it with people. And honestly, I have to give credit where credit is due. It was thanks to my wife, who at the time was studying A Course in Miracles, and I was studying The Law of One. She was reading The Law of One also at the same time, but she didn't understand anything. She said she was completely lost. Like, she was attracted to it, but she was just discouraged to continue reading because she couldn't understand it. And I was understanding it. I mean, it was getting into me rather than understanding. It was getting into me, and I was trying, you know, to make congruency of all of this. And as it went on, I just explained it to her, and she was fascinated by what Ra had to say. So she pitched me the idea, you know, why don't you explain it? And so I started brewing the possibility of creating a channel on YouTube and start explaining what I knew and what I understood. So that's how this was born. In retrospective, I could say that I feel that, I guess, that feeling of when you look back and you listen to how you used to express yourself and you say, oh, I could do that better now. So I could do that with, you know, the earlier sessions, and I'll probably continue to do that over time and just look back and say, I could probably deliver a better message here. Another thing that I guess few people realize or knew or notice in this beginning project is that I think I said at the beginning of the series that I was going to cover just three, four, five questions that I deem important in the sessions, and just be, I wanted to make short format episodes. And I did that, or I tried to do that for the first book, actually. Eventually, I just started covering the whole material because every session just brought a lot to it. The only questions that I kind of excluded were at the beginning personal material, some personal material, and of course, you know, the greeting and the closing statement of Ra. But even at the end, I was reading the closing statements because they had some nourishing information there. I did exclude all the greetings when Ra says, I am Ra, I greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator, we communicate now, or something like that, because it was very repetitive. And I guess just my mind of wanting to, you know, be very meticulous with the time. But still, it extended into a full hour episode, sometimes even more. I think I got close to the 2-hour episode at one point. But yeah, that was my intention. It was just to share my understanding, and it remains the same today. Yes, 4.5 years of studying this material, closing onto 5, because I started studying way before I started doing this series. I could say that I appreciate it even more, and I have created my own bias, if you will, in terms of how I read the material, what I extract out of it, what I ignore a little bit more or just set aside. And so I want to talk about that in this video, because that's what shaped basically my view. It's fair to say that it's not just the raw material that has shaped my mystical path or my spiritual path, whatever you want to call it. But non-duality obviously has been a strong influence in its different traditions, not only in the Eastern, but also the West. Christianity has a lot to offer in mysticism. It's just that it's not fully appreciated. It doesn't have the culture and traditions behind it that supports it, as opposed to the East. But yeah, these are have been big influences. And of course, within the mystical heart, as Gary Bean likes to call it, of the Law of One, we find just this. So I'll talk about that. So before I get into it, though, I think this episode in particular, I want to dedicate a little bit of time to talk about the trio that made this possible. As I feel like I don't have enough information and I guess a well-structured body of study to honor Don, Carla, and Jim. But I'll just say what comes to mind, and I have just a couple of things that I feel are important to know. As you know, after session 106, what happened was that Don's health continued to decline, even though they moved back into Louisville, Kentucky, to the house where Jim lives to this day. Carla died in that house, and Don also died in that house. That's where he committed suicide in November of 1984 as a product of his mental decline, which was already present, and I pointed out several times in the last session. So over the course of 1983 and 84, his mental decline started to show, and we could read some of that in the material. I think it's very touching at the end when Don says, you know, can you please, like asking Ra, I would love to see the Golden Hawk again, as if that was a function of Ra, but it wasn't. So yeah, I guess it was kind of moving to see Don's in its last exchanges with Ra, expressing this this sorrow that he had. It's beyond me to talk about this. I would recommend that you read the commentary, especially by Carla, who expresses a lot more emotionally what was happening with Don and her. So yeah, you can definitely read some of that and get an idea of, as to what was happening and what ended up happening. I just don't find too much of an interest in relating or telling the story behind what happened, but that was the ultimate end. It was just Don's mental decline that ended up in, of course, a big disharmony in the group. He wasn't even functional at some point. And yeah, that ended up with his suicide. Then Carla's decline of health, which is something that I would like to talk about. Her health decline again, this is something that you can read at, in depth in the commentary of book 5, or if you go to lawofone.info, hint, always in the description, there's a link. You can read the last commentaries of the sessions as they finish. And the epilogue also has some information there. So I highly encourage you, if you're interested in knowing what Carla had to share, that's the only source that I really care for. And Jim, of course, but Jim doesn't talk much about the emotional part that was going on. So yeah, that's there. And Carla's health declined for several years. I think it was over 7 years until 1991, December, where she finally was able to recover fully so she could walk again. And that's where, you know, she decided to keep, of course, living this life of service to others and channeling and helping others to channel and so on. Everything else that we know about Carla, she wrote her books. They got together, Jim and her, to write book 5 and release the questions that were personal material and so on. And also Jim's commitment, that's another thing, that even though Jim didn't have such a strong impact in terms of his health and what, you know, affected him mentally or physically, I think it was a turning point for Jim to decide to live his life in service to this material and this message, but also to Carla. He was very committed to continue to be at her side, even though the raw material was over. He continued to be there. So that's the sort of commitment that Jim expressed over time in this unfolding of events. So yeah, I wanted to cover that. I have some of my notes here, and that's the best thing that I could say as a summary. The rest is history. You can read it in their books and their material out there. You'll have to find about that if you want to get into that more. So there's one part that I want to share that sometimes we don't even consider about the raw contact and the commitment of Don, Carla, and Jim. And this will be my last comment on them. And it's that we forget pretty quickly as we read the raw material, because we are so engrossed with the beautiful information that is helpful to us. But we forget that Ra contacted them only because they wanted to talk to them. They didn't want to write or leave a material. They never had that intention. Their whole purpose of contacting them was to give the message to them, to help them out, because they were seeking. And this is a very moving point, because we know that first, Ra's intention was never to write these books and to be proliferated on Earth. And I feel that the guys at LNL Research, including Jim, of course, have honored this at the point in which they don't promote this. They're not out there professing this or preaching about it, but rather they're just guardians of this knowledge, and whoever comes to them, they simply, you know, make it accessible as much as possible. And I have been a witness over the past years to see how much they have dedicated to continue to offer these resources to those who seek it, but not preach about it. And so I think that's beautiful that it's maintained that way. And there's one part that I want to point out to you that is in session 37. That's where, I think this is the session where Don is talking about the situation with the publisher, and the publisher thinking that Ra's language is just too complicated and nobody's going to read it and so on. And Ra says something that I have here, and they say, the use you make of these transmissions, or the sessions, the contacts, the exchanges, is completely at your discretion. Meaning that, they emphasize it again, we don't care, you know, we are here just to talk to you. If you want to share our conversation, then that's up to you, and we're fine with it. They never gave any advice, any suggestions, any stipulations, other than saying, you know, don't say that we are the owners of the Law of One, we're just humble messengers, and, you know, these little things. So I think that's a beautiful point that we sometimes forget, because we may think that, oh yeah, Ra gave this information to Earth. They didn't. They gave it to Don, Carla, and Jim, and they were satisfied with that. They said, if it reaches one, it reaches all. That's something that, just for your contemplation, we don't need to illuminate everybody. That's a false view. The idea that you need to work on other people to change this world is a false view. It is a, yes, it's a very compassionate way to see the world, but it's not true. The only person that needs to be illuminated, and when I say person, it's a false being, right? The separate self that needs to be illuminated is you. So if you look at yourself as a separate being, right? Because you think that you are somebody and that there are other people, the illumination is actually the dissolution of this person. You see what I'm saying here? Illuminating yourself is dissolving yourself. It's almost like the self is a shadow, the separate self is a shadow. So when you illumine the shadow, what happens to the shadow? It dissolves, it goes away. So in the same way, that's what happens individually to all of us. Everything else disappears as a function of separation. So I think that's an important point that we should keep in mind as to what was the purpose of Ra, but also the intention of Don to share this material, which of course, a lot of us, if not all of us, you listening to this and me talking about it, this creates the appreciation of this material, thanks to Don, Carla, and Jim, who decided to, against all odds, make it available to us. And not because it was going to be popular, because it wasn't, and it continues not to be It's a sort of very obscure material that few get into. And so, it improves our appreciation for the material, but more importantly at this point for me to Don and Ra, or Don Carlo Jim and Ra. So these guys, yeah, our love and our respect and our appreciation for them. Oh, I wish I could stay more talking about them, because yeah, we should all appreciate and love what they did, but that stays individually. Okay, moving on to this point now, I'm going to go into my personal assimilation of the material, and I actually gave these points in the European group. For those of you who don't know, I am covering the raw material again, session by session, but I'm doing it live, and you probably have seen some of the videos that have been uploading to my channel, and these videos are the conversations that we're having there. I'm doing a synthesis. I'm not doing obviously the same that I did, because I did different parts for each session. I'm not sure how it's going to evolve from now, because we're going to get into very long sessions, but we're doing the study again, and it's not as meticulous as it was my material in the playlist or the podcast of the raw material, but that's happening. I'm mentioning this because I did a sort of introduction to myself, which again, you can find in my channel when I talk to them, and I'm going to base some of my views on this, as you know, it expresses a lot how I see the raw material. And it's important because if you're going to continue to listen to me in this channel and you appreciate the insights that I have, then it sort of helps for you to know what is my direction, where am I going with not only the law of one, but everything else that I use as a resource, whether that be my own experience or the experience of other mystical figures in the past, or teachings or concepts, models, etc., which I like to reference now and then to sort of mirror our path right now, and the resources, I'm talking about mental resources that we have available that we can use to self-reflect this path and find the harmony that we're looking for. So I have some of the same points that I started expressing to the group in Europe. And I'll talk about this. A little parenthesis here. I said I was going to say this at the beginning of the video, and I forgot. The reason why I'm recording out here is not just because I want a change of environment, but also because if you don't know, you're not in my Telegram channel, or you didn't listen to my audio where I talked about this. Funny story. The day I finished recording the last session, the last episode, session 106, part 2, I finished the material. I usually, the same day, I record both in Spanish and English. I edit the video, and I take the extracts that you used to see on Tuesdays. They're no longer going to be there, of course, because I don't feel like I'm going to do extracts anymore. But I used to take those and then, you know, create thumbnails and the whole work behind posting the videos and uploading the podcast and all of this. I used to compress all of this on Monday. So Monday was my day dedicated to this. And so what happened? I started doing all of this. I was almost at the end, and I uploaded the Spanish video. There was a mistake or something that I forgot, and I said, let me delete this and upload it again. When I went to upload it the second time, it was like 60%, or maybe not 40%, something like that, uploading. I have extremely fast internet for some reason here in the forest. Don't ask me how. Better than New York. But what happened? My computer suddenly crashed. And when I say that it crashed, not that I could reboot it or troubleshoot it, and I know about computers, I built them myself. I've always built my computers, so I know how to work with them. This is the first time in my life where I have no idea what to fix. I'm still waiting, as of right now, the response from the technicians, where I had to bring them for the first time. I have never brought my computers to a technician. But that happened on Monday, and so I had to finish uploading the last video on my son's computer. And yeah, this was out of the blue. I don't have a computer right now, is what I'm saying. I'm still waiting for that. And yeah, so that was pretty curious that my computer crashed right at the end, at the final moment, where it's almost like I uploaded the Spanish video. It was good, but I doubted myself. I wanted to do something else in the video, and I canceled it or deleted it and uploaded it again, and it crashed. But yeah, my computer lasted until that point. It's an old computer, 9 years old. I built it into 2015. So yeah, hopefully that can get fixed. Otherwise, I'm going to have to buy a new computer. I'm still waiting. Good point for me to say, if you value what I'm doing, a lot of changes are happening, not just the end of the raw material, my coverage, but many other things are happening in my life, personal life, that I actually will talk about in my Patreon, where I have my small community. And if you want to support what I do, I really appreciate if you could just stop by and see. It's not necessary. I know everybody has financial commitments, and if you know, if this is a burden for you, please don't even think about it. But if it's something within you and within your means, I would highly appreciate it. I'll make a video to talk about this a little bit more, but it's been almost 5 years since I created my channel, and to be honest, I never wanted to put any sort of publicity. I don't even know how to do this, honestly. I was just a guy uploading videos on YouTube, and I mean, I just left it to see what happened, and the results is that it's not a very popular channel. You'd be surprised of the amount of subscribers and views that you need to make even some return to the investment that you make in, you know, the resources. Spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month just to maintain the infrastructure, online infrastructure, to produce and edit and have all the necessary means for online work. And YouTube definitely doesn't return that to me. But then again, that's just the nature of the popularity of my channel. So it helps me a lot, you know, if people can support me in just to pay some of the bills that I have. I'm not ashamed to admit that. So again, go to the description, check my Patreon. $5, $15 is just whatever you can. And if not, please, again, it's not necessary. It's a totally voluntary thing, and if it's possible. But continuing with what I have in store, I haven't even started yet. But that's very common in me, isn't it? So at this point, I just want to share my how I see the raw material and where do I see the most intense and important parts, which is the first points that I'm going to. So I'm going to cover four points, four categories, if you will, of what I consider to be from the most important to me to the least important. I'm talking about the information that is contained in the raw material and why this is important at the end when I cover everything already, because I will continue to talk about the raw material, but not in the format that I used to do. It'll be a lot more short format, and I'll talk about this at the end of my video here. So what is this first and most important point that I find in the information contained in the raw material? Well, obviously, that is the message of the Law of One. Ra says, we are humble messengers of the Law of One. Okay, so if that's what you came to bring to us, or at least to Don, Carla, and Jim, and as a refraction to all of us now, what is the Law of One? Well, it so happens that the Law of One is, in essence, the non-dual understanding of reality. In other words, you are the self, you are the creator. Separation is an illusion, and so on. Everything that ramifies or branches out from this is just a result of this understanding. So this is the first point, and I call it the mystical essence of the Law of One, only because Gary Bean stole the possibility of calling it the mystical heart of the Law of One. So I had to come up with a new name for it. And I call it the mystical essence of the Law of One. But we both talk about the same thing. Gary Bean, by the way, is the director of NLL Research, and we just happen to coincide, of course, in our appreciation for the material in the mystical essence, which is really what calls to us, yes? And so what does the raw material has to offer in this respect? Well, we can talk about many concepts, but the biggest ones that we find particularly in the raw material are the disciplines of the personality. If you follow my work, you would notice that I use this as a parallel to knowing the self, or simply self-realization. The disciplines of the personality are Ra's way to communicate self-realization. What is the process? This is in line with every single mystical teacher, master, guru, or somebody who simply talks about enlightenment or self-realization. So the disciplines of the personality, in the many ways that Ra talks about it, it's there. So that is one of the points, that if we get into the raw material and we want to get the law of one, the disciplines of the personality is one to keep an eye on and to study it, as Ra expresses it. Indigo ray activation is another one. We think this has something to do with some Kundalini work, or which it does, activation of energy centers and so on. But no, listen to this. It's a very practical thing. Indigo ray activation is, if you read it in the material, you will see that this is simply the activation, the enlightenment, the opening of a perspective that is beyond the intellect, and it has to do with living precisely the law of one, or non-duality. It's, I forget what the saying is in English. Is it walking the walk and talking the talk, or talking the walk, something like that? You know what I mean. It's that. That's indigo ray activation. In other words, like I recorded the other day in a short video, you stop saying we're all one. You know that we're all one. You see, there's a difference there. And you can see this in New Age. There's a lot of that, and people like to talk about it and scream it and say, yes, yes, we're all one. That's a sort of, you know, yellow ray expression. Yes, we're all one. You know it intellectually, right? You resonate with it. But that energy needs to go up to the indigo ray. Again, I don't mean to make this a video about the indigo ray, but that's another point that you can actually check in the Law of One, and it'll make sense. It has to do with this mystical teaching. And what is it? What does it mean to activate indigo ray? Well, that's in there. Of course, a word that they used not too often, but it's referred to a couple of times, and it's important to see, you know, how it fits into all of this, is the word enlightenment. So I don't even need to make an introduction to this word, only to say that I appreciate more, which I'll talk about also at the end of this video, but I appreciate the more practical aspect of what these concepts mean. Enlightenment is simply the recognition of your own being. I like to listen to scholars and philosophers who are, they are boarding this topic of mysticism, and they are confounded by the idea, and they express it. They may have some knowledge about it, but they express it in a way that it's paradoxical, that if you go into this void, which all mystical teachers, including Ra, talks about, if you go into this void, this darkness, this primordial darkness, you will see the light. That seems like a paradox. How can there be light in darkness? Well, because that which is seen as the void or darkness is seen as such because the mind cannot fathom the infinite. And so it sees us as a nothing. And yet that nothingness is the nature of mind. So the nature of mind, which is objective, obviously must be light itself. And so it's self-illuminated. When you don't see this infinite as the perspective of the mind, then you see everything as pure light. We also use that term. So that's what enlightenment means, just to know who you are, but know exactly who you are. As long as you feel yourself to be an objective or subjective, right? A subject, this capsule of being, this discrete being, then you will only see form. Once you shift your identity to the true identity, which Ra talks about as well, as the creator, then you will see what you truly are. That's enlightenment. It's not the end of a road or something like that. It's actually the beginning of the path. Enlightenment is the beginning of the path, and everybody should be enlightened. Everybody should know who they are. It's very difficult. It's very difficult because we're so convinced that we are a separate being. And you would be surprised of the subtle ways in which the mind loves to perpetuate this, because it's infatuated with this idea of being an objective or subjective discrete being, separate from reality, exploring a multiplicity of things. I'm sorry, but that needs to die at some point, whether it be mentally, and so liberating yourself, or physically eventually, where you just go into the next incarnation. The other point in this very, in the pinnacle of the information and the raw material, is the life of the adept. Ra talks about the adept as somebody who is on this path, consciously and voluntarily moving through these motions, that is the process of indigo ray activation, enlightenment, disciplines of the personality, and so on. So that's another part of the raw material that you can take a good look at. What is the adept when they talk about adepthood, and what are they? You'll see that that's the conversation that they're having, or that's the conversation that Ra wants to give, you see? So those are points that make up my initial most important category. That would be the mystical essence of the Law of One. That is contained within the raw material. It's very sparse everywhere. It's dispersed within the raw material, but that's why we study it. It's not like it's, you know, session 1 through 10, it's about this. 22, it's not like that. It's all over the place, and that's what makes it, you know, a little bit more challenging. But I bet you, if you follow those things, you will see, stand out. You know, you'll see the light in the raw material. Again, these categories are arbitrary to my bias as to what I consider to be important and most efficient for the spiritual seeker. So I'll continue to talk about, you know, in categories, what I believe is now the second thing that you will find a lot, and it's helpful. It's not as good as the first one. You can get just the first category and forget about the rest, and it's fine. That's all you need. However, the second category, it's still interesting. I call this the dynamics and processes of the mind. This is a bit more of a study, right? In the first one, we're going through direct experience. Disciplines of personality, indigo ray activation, enlightenment, life of the adept, all of these have to do with no activity, but rather being and recognizing being. So in the second category, we're going to study now dynamics of the mind. It's pretty interesting because we have a lot of information there. For example, one of the several topics that I have listed here, I could probably think about more, but I have archetypical mind, for example. It's one of the biggest studies in the raw material in terms of the functions and the structure of the mind and the dynamics and so on. So the archetypical mind is there. I also refer to something as the calling. The calling is something that, for example, when we get into the study or the understanding of what UFO contact is, we find that there is a dynamic in the mind that is creating this mystical experience, which is not a physical phenomenon that's happening, right? It's an internal phenomenon that Ra explains as a function of a calling, as a contact. You know, it's supposed to shake you. That's one of the many ways in which we can experience a calling. Calling to where? To the first category, to seek the most mysterious part of the Law of One or of reality, the self. So that's another part that you find in the raw material several times. These things are there. Initiation is another one. It's related to this calling, because the calling is calling you to initiate yourself in the path, in the mystical path, in the spiritual path, in the true direct seeking of oneness. Then there is the return to oneness. This is a beautiful one because it's another thing that we study as a mechanism that is necessary as awareness or the infinite one manifest in an apparent separate being. This is to the extent of exploring itself as separate as possible, but never truly separate from itself. And that's where we stand today. So this calling and initiation is actually spark that brings us back. I like to express this for those of you who have been in my calls. You know that I express this with the rubber band. There is a sort of extension, a last extension or tension as to which we can bring this elastic band, the self, right? The elastic band has never been separate. It's always been united, but the tension is real. And that tension eventually snaps back. And that's the return, you see? So initiation or the calling happens at the highest point of tension, the rubber band. And so it snaps back. That snapping is the return to oneness. Another dynamic that we can see in the raw material as, you know, spiritual growth or expansion consciousness, you know, all these words that we use for that, it's found in the raw material, and they talk about this. And the last thing is, of course, mental disciplines, which are sort of understanding how the mind works and understanding this has not to do with the archetypical mind, but rather, you know, with how we cultivate this mental direction and nourish this coordinate, if you will, into the North Pole, as Ra calls it, in the energy centers, right? The return to oneness. So all of these make up what I call the second category of important information within the raw material. I would suggest, if you have a resonance with what I'm saying, that this would be the second focus of your study of the raw material, and certainly what I will sort of gravitate towards as I continue to talk of the raw material. I'm getting now into the third category, which I may not make so much material of, and yet I find it interesting, fascinating, but it starts to go away from a little bit. It starts to deviate a little bit from the helpful, efficient, understanding of this. Oh, I should have mentioned in category two, the dynamics of experience and catalyst, all of that is included there. So yeah, that's part of that. In the third category, however, I will talk about, I'll mention that this is part, of course, of the material that we have in the raw contact, is the structure and model of reality. So these are models. It's a sort of mythology, if you will. You know, we shouldn't buy into it. I certainly don't, as, you know, the ultimate way to describe reality. I think we have attempted this in the past several times. And as Ra would say, you know, these are the best approximations that we can make, you know, for your understanding, right, of what reality is. So I take this not with a grain of salt per se, but actually with just not a whole lot interest. Although it is a common ground for us to talk about, you know, but it's kind of difficult to tell your grandma, you know, like, oh, grandma, don't worry, you're going to fourth density, you know, and in fourth density, you know, there is this blah, blah, blah. It's not very useful, right? So that's why it becomes a little bit more esoteric, more for the people who like to talk about this. Not very practical, I think. And yet we talk about fascinating things like the densities of consciousness, one of the things that fascinates us from the beginning. Cosmology, how was the universe created and where is it going and what is its nature? And even Ra has issues trying to describe everything because they don't know everything. And so it's kind of limited. Things like the cycles and the existence in other planes and entities and their interaction and the sort of life that is supposedly lived in other densities and so on. Again, I don't mean to disparage any of this, but just to point out the small relevance that this has when compared to what we have in category one or even two. So I feel like that information's there. I think it's fascinating. I don't deem it important, but it's still there. And I know we can use this language to talk about different things. And I guess, you know, I guess it has merit for its study. Again, that's just my view. Some people may consider this the most important thing at the moment, and that's fine. I remember being very much interested in this at the beginning, and the rest, not really. So this was, at a point in time, this was much more interesting. It was category one for me. So I want to be, you know, very thorough in honesty here. It can vary. I'm just saying that with my experience, the time that I have been doing this, this is how it has rearranged in my life and where I see the most, results, payback or payoff, what's the word, you know, for when you see the results, right? The product, the fruit, the biggest fruit has been from this understanding. So again, that's category three. Category four is the least important to me, and that would be events and history. So in the raw material, we have a lot of history of Egypt, Atlantis, and South America, and particular entities like Akhenaten, or do they talk about Roosevelt? I think Roosevelt, Lincoln, and so on. You know, these events in history, even Don says sometimes, like, I know this is unimportant, but I'm just very, you know, I'm very curious to know about this. So you can see that sometimes, this is what Ra would sometimes call transient information. There's always something that you can take out of this. I'm not discouraging the reading of these questions, but it's just that I never found too much of an interest. I think it was fascinating. I feel it was more of a fascination for that side of my mind that was interested in understanding the truth of our history and the truth of events. So, you know, Ra built the pyramids, you know, that's a fact now for us. Well, good luck with that in the world. Yes, it makes a lot of sense here. Is it relevant? Not really. It's not going to make you get closer to yourself. So things like that, you know, there's a lot of transit information. The UFOs or Session 8, things like that. And there is scattered information or questions on irrelevant topics. One of the ones that I always mention as a sort of symbolic representation of transient information is cattle mutilation, right? So we have even that kind of information that it's just, it doesn't really get to you, you know, in the end. If you're in the spiritual path, then all of this just belongs to the people who are interested maybe in talking about the chupacabras or something like that. Again, I'm not bat-mouthing anybody. It's just how it is, you know, it's transit information. Do we care about it? Who knows? Depends on you. To me, it's totally irrelevant, and I probably never talk about these things because they're not interesting. I remember somebody interviewing me at one point, and he wanted to know in one of his questions if the raw material validated that the Earth was flat. And in my mind, I was just interested in talking about, you know, the message of oneness. Like, what does the flat Earth has to do with anything? And these kind of questions were arising in his mind, and I just lost interest. Yeah, I'm not interested to talk about these things. So I made it a point to say, I'm not interested in transit information. I would like to talk about the law of one. So yeah, I guess there's a fifth category, which goes without saying, that there is personal material that is within the law of one in the exchanges, you know, Carla's energy, historical background on the three of them, their current situation and so on. And I might have missed another subcategory here, but I think everything else just fits between within this four or five categories, if you want to include the personal material that sometimes was just, it was part of the story of how this book or these books came to be. So again, that's obviously more of a reference to the historical events that brought about the raw material, but yeah, you get my point. And that's about it. I want to also, before I finish, I have a couple of more things to mention. Just to solidify it a little bit, my view on these categories or how I see them. There's one part in session 16, the longest session, the whole material, I think it was like 60-something exchanges, where Ra says something interesting, and I forget what the question was, but it had to do with if the person to be graduated into fourth density had to be consciously aware of the law of one or understand the law of one. And the insight that Ra gives us in this answer, I think this was question 39 or 37. I should have made a note, but speaking of understanding, of learning, of acquiring knowledge, right? Because if you see my categories, I begin with that which doesn't need any descriptions, just being, just living, just direct experience and realization of truth, not without conceptual knowledge, right? That's what I base my most important messages, yes? The second one being a little bit closer to explain to the conceptual mind what is happening, You know, that would be dynamics and processes of the mind, because obviously something is happening to the mind, and we can talk about this. These two being the most important categories to me. Well, Ra says something interesting here. They say it is absolutely necessary that an entity consciously realize it does not understand in order for it to be harvestable. Understanding is not of this density. So even if you put a lot of stocks into the raw material and you're still doubtful about, you know, I think I want to go more into this or that understanding, conceptual, contemplate this, what Ra says. You know, it is absolutely necessary. They're very specific with words. They said this in session 37 when they were talking about the importance of them expressing in this vocabulary the answers to alleviate as many distortions as possible. So when they say that it is absolutely necessary, it's not even necessary, it is absolutely necessary that we consciously realize that we do not understand in order to what? To be harvestable to fourth density. And pointing out that this density is not one of understanding. So if you base your path on conceptual understanding, good luck, you won't get too far, because your mind will just be more agitated with new, and it will just lose the track of unknowing, right? Brahman is unknown to those who know it and known to those who know it not. Yes, if you think you know, you don't understand. That's the truth. And so things like these are also a little dispersed in the material, but Ra makes a point in this, you know, and in their conversation with Don, they try to bring it there too, because that's the teaching here. The teaching is that we don't understand anything. We cannot understand anything, but we have a higher knowledge, which is pure knowledge. That's what we're cultivating. Very important. I could cite so many other things, but yeah. My last couple of comments here is I'll be doing more short format videos on the raw material, hopefully to reach out more people who are not really interested in getting into an hour long of me talking, just small snippets, and also useful for a lot of you who have gone through all these, you know, long videos, and now you can get snippets of what I mean, especially because I'll put the importance in the categories that I have above. That's a big difference, because in the past I used to just go with the material, whatever it was. You know, if it was just talking about Carla, I had to talk about Carla. If it was talking about UFOs, I will talk about UFOs. Or if it was about the disciplines of the personality, then great, and so on. But now I can, you know, dictate the pace and also the intensity that I find in the information that I reread. So I'll be doing that. Short format videos, I'll try to keep it between 10 and 20 minutes, but I don't know. It's difficult to put reins on my mouth. I just keep going, as you can see. And the last thing that I'll say is that my intention is to bring this mystical, otherworldly, or a chimerical view of reality to a more coherent and practical understanding. In other words, to take you outside of or out of this mind that is imagining and fantasizing about how things are, and rather show you how things are right now, here, in this moment. Everything is contained in the present. You don't need your mind to go to the past or expect the future. You can understand everything right now. That's where I want to bring it. I want to bring it out because this is something that I saw over time, this 4.5 years interacting with people and the audience. And as not very popular my channel is, in Spanish is just a tad more popular. But I've had the privilege to interact with individuals, and I can see, of course, tendencies as to the people who are attracted to this material and where, what kind of mentality they bring. And there's a lot of sensitivity to buy into the mythological depictions of reality through the Law of One. And so it kind of reinforces at some points, people reinforce, we all reinforce our preconceived notions. What does that mean? That we we bring to the table a sort of belief as to how things are. And then when we read without a clean mind or a clear mind, just not biased, just read directly into it, it's very possible, very common that we will try to intensify or validate our own old beliefs. Yes? So these beliefs have a tendency to be on the mystical side. And I don't mean that as the mystic, but the mysterious, you know, the ephemeral, that which is, you know, outside the noumenal aspect of reality and all of this. And I don't find that very helpful, not to my path. And I can see the frustration in a lot of people, the fear that comes out of this because they don't seem to be in control. And again, it's just because the separate self is still sort of there creating, you know, some illusions of reality. Oh, you know, the different entities that I need to take care of, myself, and, you know, all this sort of, yes, just a etherical view of the world and the universe. So, yeah, that's one of the things that I am, it defines my message, it defines my work, and I have never been interested in anything too metaphysical or esoteric, but rather with the practical aspect of things, and as I express already, enough. My direction is there. It's just to bring you the essence of the Law of One, what I consider to be the non-dual understanding of reality, what we call unity consciousness, Christ consciousness, unity, yoga, and so on. All these words, they all refer to the same thing. What is its purpose? To bring everlasting harmony, peace, happiness to ourselves. Everybody's looking for peace and happiness. Everybody. Consciously or unconsciously. If they do it unconsciously, they fall into frustrating and suffering patterns. If we do it consciously, we start to eliminate the frustrating and suffering patterns of our mind. Everybody's on the same path. So my idea is to catalyze that path as it comes to me, and I can offer it to you. And that's all I got today. I'll very likely make another video as of the recording of this. Tomorrow, I will be traveling to LNL Research Retreat. It's my first retreat, and it's going to be nice. So maybe I'll come back with some other reflections on the Law of One and share it with you and put an end to this playlist, to this, what we would call the first season of the Law of One. Like I said, I promise I'll continue to make material on the Law of One, but it's going to be very... very surgical in terms of what I consider to be most important, especially for those who want to continue on this path of self-realization. And the raw material offers a lot of that. It's not only the raw material, but there are other materials and teachings that I'll talk about. And the idea is to continue this, not only in the podcast format, which I'll continue to do just to express my views and some of my own ideas, if that's helpful to you, but also in short format videos. I have nothing else to say. I appreciate you if you have been with me in this journey, completely in the playlist or the whole season of the raw material, this 227 episodes, or if you just started and you're just watching this video to see a little bit more of an updated self of me at this point, and you still have a lot more to cover. It doesn't matter. I feel like you are in this path ever more consciously, and so am I, so we're just brothers holding hands and walking this path. I appreciate you. I have nothing to say. I have no conclusions like in the past. That's over. And all I wish is that you are in touch with your inner peace, with the self, with the creator that you are, and to self-illumine your reality. Powerful words there. I leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. Go forth then, rejoicing in this one light, Adonai.